Home of the Brave is the latest production of Honolulu Theater for Youth. It grew out of children's stories about what it's like to grow up in a military family. The piece was co-commissioned with the La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego and was performed there last year. Take a listen.
I write notes for him and find little presents, and I put them in his shirt and his pants and his shoes. Sometimes I roll up things in his socks. I write, "Be safe," and put it here. And I write, "Stay strong," and hide it there. Last time, when my dad left for deployment, we said our goodbyes and watched him go. I could see him transform from my home dad to my military dad with every step as he walked away. I saw his hand go in his pocket. Inside was a little pink ribbon I always wear in my hair. I bet he could tell what it was because he had tied it for me so many times. I bet it made him smile.
We sat down with actor Jason Lee Hoy, who grew up in the military and served in the armed forces. He was joined by playwright Lee Cataluna, who could relate. While not a military brat, she attended 9 different schools before graduating from high school because of her father's job.
It wasn't until I started working on this project that I kind of quantified it, I guess, for myself. So 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, and 9th grade, each year was a different school. And I went to 9 different schools before I graduated high school, all in Hawaii, though. So not like, you know, country to country like some military families.
Right. But you could relate to what these kids are experiencing.
Jason and I have talked about like the smell of the boxes, the sound of the tape being stretched on the box, those little stickers that go, the moving stickers that go on the boxes. I mean, just that stuff brings up, you know, the trauma, the excitement, the, you know, all that disarray that happens when you're moving.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can get away from the kids that bully you and make new friends.
It's a fresh start.
There you go. So, Jason, talk about your experience as a military brat.
I was born in Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines, and then from there we moved to Offutt Air Force Base, and then Barksdale Air Force Base, Kirkland Air Force Base, and eventually we ended up out here where my dad taught at IA High School, where I graduated from. And I went to 3 different high schools in 3 different states. And so that process, like Lee was talking about with the boxes, like I'm so tired of the smell of boxes and just the sound of the moving trucks and the movers coming in and out of the house and touching your personal belongings and just knowing that you live in kind of a culture of impermanence and a culture of goodbyes and how you have to build this strength and resilience. And in the story, it shines light into that world and how these shared experiences build that resilience, not only with the community of military children, but the children that get to experience this change that have to stay there and watch people come and go.
So tell us about this play.
The creative team, you know, myself included, we went onto base and into schools and into classrooms. We talked to students and teachers and principals and counselors and just everybody, families. So we interviewed like hundreds of people and just sort of asked them their stories. I mean, it wasn't a set of questions. It was more like, so what's it like? And heard the most amazing stories. And then it was my job to sort of form that into a theatrical piece. And what I figured out pretty early on was it wasn't good enough to just go get the stories and gather them, that we needed to go back to the schools. So I did that. I would take my scenes and, you know, ask to go back to the classroom and have the students read them out loud to me and then critique them, which they loved, right? Like kids love telling a writer what they got wrong. So that was super fun for them and really hard for me. but it was part of this careful checking to make sure, because if we got the smallest thing wrong, then that sort of bounces you out of the entire story, right? They don't know what they're talking about. So we checked a lot to make sure that even though this was fictionalized, dramatized, but it was essentially real and true and honest.
Right, you want something authentic.
Yeah. But, you know, I had this impossible task of telling the story of what it's like to be a child in a military family in 50 minutes with, initially it was four actors. When the play toured in San Diego, I had four actors, and here I have five. But there are infinite stories, right? I mean, there are as many stories about being a kid in a military family as there are kids from military families. So how do you choose, and how do you get enough in so that it seems authentic?
There was a clip that you folks sent over about notes.
The pockets.
Yes.
That monologue was from a family with three sisters here in Hawaii. And we sat with them, with the three girls and their mom and their dad. The girls are all teenagers now. And we just asked them, you know, asked them to share stories about their lives. And they started talking about putting things in their dad's pockets, in the pockets of his uniform as he would be deployed. And as they told the story, their dad, who was sitting there, started crying. And, you know, I started crying, and Eric, the director, started crying. And the girls just told it very matter-of-factly. It's one of my favorite pieces because it's so cleanly from these three girls. Like, I didn't really have to write it. I just had to sort of transcribe it and maybe, you know, tuck it in a little bit. But it was all about, you know, the question of how do you do this? You know, how do you say goodbye to your dad for long periods of time, not knowing when he's going to come home? And for some kids, it was their mom, right? Their mom gets deployed. But those girls sort of answer the question this way about the little notes that they put in their dad's pockets. So do you want to talk about the jacket?
The jacket. I brought in my brother's Army jacket to use in the play, and I was in the Army myself. And every pocket kind of serves a purpose. And there's definitely pockets in pockets, and you kind of get lost in translation putting on this uniform. The first time I heard pockets, I nearly wept in front of all of them, because it is that point where you have to figure out how to say goodbye, because you don't know in that point whether dad's coming home or not. My father was 20 years in the Air Force, and when he went over to Iraq during the first Gulf War, my mom would put us to bed when the sun was still up so that she could watch the news. And we would be in the hallway just watching her, and she just didn't want us to see her cry. So it's this process of coping and hoping that they're going to be okay. And so you leave little things inside the uniform to remind them of you when they're over there, and they're going through the worst of the worst, because you have no idea what they're experiencing over there as a child unless you are watching the news. Having to swallow all the tears and be strong for your family members, because they need to see you as strength, because they're going to hold that in their head as the last image that they see. And it's so hard as a kid watching your dad just leave and get on that aircraft and just never know when he's coming back. My older brother, he did three tours in Afghanistan, and each tour was 15 months. So that's the amount of time he missed out on his children's lives. And their coping mechanisms, and me stepping in as an uncle and taking them to soccer practice and the basketball practice and keeping them constantly active just to keep their mind off the reality that your dad may or may not return, or your mom may or may not return from their deployment.
And I know some families have little routines when they do connect. When my brother came back from the Vietnam War, he came over to my school, and I ran out and gave him a big hug, and then he proceeded to bite me on the nose, and he left teeth marks on my nose, which were visible for weeks.
That was a love bite.
Yes. But I never forgot that.
We hope that families will come, and not just military families, right? Civilian families, because we're all part of this community, right? We're all living here in Hawaii together. And when this play was touring San Diego last year, I happened to go to one performance at a school that was in downtown San Diego. And just, you know, being there in the audience, I could tell something different was going on. There was just a different, like, vibration or something in the audience. And afterwards, the principal came to us and he said, you know, 30% of his student body, they're homeless. And so the question of, so where are you from, hits them in a way that is sort of similar to asking a military child who's lived everywhere, where are you from? But it had its own, like, resonance to it. And then the question of saying goodbye to a family member. You know, some of his students had seen their parents deported. You know, so that whole idea of, you know, watching dad or mom walking away, not knowing when they'd come back or when they'd be reunited, had a certain connection to them. And I think we keep finding that it's not just about military families, it's about families. You know, when dad has to go away for work, when mom has to go away for work, divorce, or just, you know, change, right? How do you deal with change and uncertainty? We were invited to go to Radford High School like 3 different times. Every time they said, hey, do you want to come? We're like, yes. They have a fantastic transition center there that's pretty much run by the students. So when military kids come in, and some of them are coming in like second semester senior year, they are greeted by other military kids who go, we know what this is like. Let's help you, you know, get going. And then there are also counselors and stuff that help them make sure they graduate on time because of the question of different classes, you know, transferring in, right? Different credits. Anyway, we talked to these 4 kids who spent probably 2 hours with us, and they're all seniors. And Eric Johnson, who's the director of the play, asked them this great question. He said, what should definitely be in this play about military kids, and what should definitely not be in this play about military kids? And they said, and this one girl in particular said, it should not sound like a recruiting film for the military. And she said, but no one should ever feel sorry for us. She said, it is a challenging life, but it's a good life, though it's not for everybody. And so those words are like almost exactly in the play because it was so true. And she said, it's totally doable and it's worth it if your mom or your dad loves what they do. And I kept going back to those words because that was kind of a truth of it all. You know, that she was saying, yeah, it's hard. It can be really hard, but it can be really great too. Like, we get to do stuff that none of you civilian people have any idea about.
That's right.
Yeah. And that nobody should feel sorry, but would be cool for us to be able to talk about, you know, how we experience life, how we see the world.
And before we close, can you talk about the title, Home of the Brave?
Home of the Brave was actually given to us by a kid who comes from a military family. He's the son of a Navy captain who actually was my student here in Hawaii. And then when we worked on the play in San Diego, his family was in San Diego, and now he's in Virginia. But it came from a speech that he gave that he shared with us, and he talked about how when you go to a public event and somebody sings the national anthem, everybody starts cheering with the line, the land of the free, because there's that tough note to hit. You know, if the singer hits that note, everybody starts cheering. And he said, but the most important line is the one that comes right after that. And it's quiet, you know, and the home of the brave. And that's who we are.
HTY's Home of the Brave starts this Friday and runs weekends through the month at Tenney Theater at St. Andrew's Cathedral.